Morning. Be in Luke chapter 11 again. A couple weeks back, I mentioned that we'd be looking at a couple of teachings that Jesus gives about prayer in Luke chapter 11, and then, of course, when you jump ahead to chapter 18, he gives a couple more teachings, and I might get to those in the new year. I'm not sure yet, but you know, I think prayer is one of those things that we all struggle with from time to time, and sometimes we feel like we're really dialed in with prayer, and then other times we feel like no matter how hard we try, no matter what we say, no matter the kind of time we carve out or the thought that we give to it, we really, really struggle with prayer. And so hopefully over the last few lessons that I've given here, trying to bring out some of what Jesus himself teaches about prayer, hopefully you found it useful and you'll find this one useful as well in terms of just thinking about prayer. All prayer is, at its root, is communication with God. And yet, the analogies that we use break down from time to time because we talk about, just talk to God as though you were talking to somebody else. And the problem with that is that it's easy to talk to somebody else because we see them, they're there, we get reaction, nonverbal reaction, whatever the case may be. But to talk to God, even though we know he's with us, we don't physically see him. We don't physically see response, and so it's difficult. It has its own difficulties with it, and then when we go through different experiences in life, sometimes when everything's going good, our prayers are simply prayers of thanksgiving to God, and those are relatively easy for many of us. But when things start to become difficult, and we have challenges, and we have difficulties, and we have issues, and maybe some guilt creeps in, and we begin to wonder how God hears us. Does he hear us? If our lives aren't perfect, if we haven't approached him the right way, does he hear us when we pray, and so on. And so this morning I want to begin just a minute here by talking about some of the ideas that I think we have about God that get in the way of praying to him. And so I'm going to read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Of course, last week I read chapter, or 2 weeks ago, verses 1 through 4, but we'll look at the whole section this morning. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Father, be with us at this time as we discuss this passage of Scripture, and as we think about prayer, and as we think about how to pray in the ways that you've taught us. I pray, God, that we would be encouraged by the words of Jesus here, that we would be encouraged by the simplicity of the prayer that he offered, and by his teaching, God, that you want to give us good things, you want to give us what we need. We simply need to ask you. We simply need to seek you. We simply need to do whatever we can to find our way to you and to ask and to pray and to trust, knowing, God, that you do, in fact, love us, and that you want to make sure that we're taken care of. We thank you for Jesus, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. So when we think about our problem with prayer, for me, most of what I've heard or observed over time or even experienced in my own life can be boiled down into three general categories. And the first problem, I call it, that we look at God as though he was some kind of a cosmic vending machine. And we all know what a vending machine does. When we're hungry or thirsty and we go and we put in exact change and then we hit the button and out comes the thing that we want, whether it's food or some kind of a drink or whatever the case may be. And sometimes, because we don't really think through what the Bible teaches us about prayer, we begin to think of God as a vending machine. And if we just go before him with the right words or the right formula or the right posture, whatever the case may be, it's as though we were putting money into that vending machine so that we can punch the button and get what we want. But when what we wanted doesn't come out for us, then we have questions about why didn't it happen? And because we think that prayer is more about the technical nature of it than it is about the relationship with God, we begin to have doubts about maybe I didn't metaphorically put enough money in. Maybe I didn't approach God the right way. Maybe I didn't do the right thing. Another problem that creeps in, and I've talked about this here a little bit recently, is that we tend to think of God as though if we can just get enough prayers offered, or if the right things get said. And it's almost as though, I've used this image before, we have one of those fundraising thermometers that we're looking at where every time some more funds come in, it goes up a little bit towards where we reach our goal. And we can tend to look at prayer that way as well. That we begin praying and it starts to fill the bottom of the thermometer. And if we can just get enough prayers to raise that up to the goal line, then God's going to answer us. And so when what we've prayed for doesn't happen, we begin to wonder, maybe we just didn't have enough prayers. Or maybe enough people weren't praying because we didn't hit that goal level. And we begin to look at it in that way without realizing that all that's doing is setting up some kind of a manipulation of God. That if we can just throw up enough prayers or enough people praying, then God's going to do it. And then another problem comes in with that, because we all know times that just a few people have prayed for something and that happens, and then hundreds of people have prayed for something else and that hasn't happened. And so when we think about that, it creates confusion for us about how all that happens. And so because of the more technical ways that we think about prayer in terms of how can we get the result that we want, we don't think about prayer simply as a relationship with God the way that Jesus is trying to outline it for us here, these problems come in. They cause doubts about prayer. They cause questions about prayer and questions about our relationship with God. And so the third way the third problem that I think exists in how we look at prayer, and this one is kind of appropriate for this time of year, and I'm jokingly saying this, but we tend to look at God as though he's a Santa Claus type. And he exists just to give us what we want. The good things that we want. Without the bad things or some of the character development that he calls us to go through, and without some of the trials that we have to go through to purify some of the nonsense out of our lives. And I can't tell you how many times over the past 2 weeks I've heard Abbott's Christmas list over and over and over again, what it is that he wants from Santa. But sometimes we think about prayer that way too. That God, we know that God is a good and loving and benevolent God, and we believe that he wants to give us good things. In fact, Scripture teaches that to us. But the way that we process that and the way that we look at that sometimes makes it difficult, because we then think that if I want a particular result, I'll ask that good God and he'll give it to me. And if he doesn't, maybe he's not as good as I thought he was. Or maybe then we start getting doubts if that's not the direction we go, that maybe I asked for the wrong thing, and then we feel guilty about it. And so there's all these different avenues that with prayer that cause questions for us and doubts and other things when we think about it improperly. And so I'm so thankful for a passage like what we have in Luke chapter 11 where Jesus spells out for us what prayer really is. And 2 weeks ago when we looked at the Lord's Prayer, or what we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave to his own disciples when they asked him, how should we pray? Teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, say these things. And we saw a very simple, basic, humble prayer. And we saw that all Jesus is telling us to do when we pray is to go before God with an understanding of Him as our Father, who He is, and then to trust Him to provide for us, both our physical and our spiritual needs. And that's all Jesus offered. There's nothing complex. There was nothing technical. There was no magic formula. There was no special way of viewing God. There was no special posture to have before God. Just a simple spirit of trust and dependence upon God that our Father will provide for all of our needs, physical and spiritual. And so the rest of this section then becomes not so much about how we get things from God, but how we understand God's answers to our prayers. Because I think that is maybe the biggest stumbling block that we have. I think that the three examples I gave just now at the beginning all have to do with misunderstanding how God answers our prayer. And when we understand that God answers our prayers in ways most often that we were not expecting or even asking for, then we begin to understand what God is actually doing in our lives. And so when we realize that sometimes God answers a physical request with a spiritual answer, or that sometimes the physical answer that we get is different than the one we were looking for, but we realize, understanding what Jesus has taught here in Luke chapter 11, that God is answering all of these prayers within the context of His benevolence towards us, His goodness towards us, then we realize that whatever answers come for us are the things that we need, which is different than saying we got what we wanted. Because sometimes when we pray for what we want, God knows, even though we don't, that we're actually expressing a different need. That if we had to sit down and spell out what our own actual needs were, that we would probably come up with a different list than God would. How many of us realize that? That we end up thinking about our wants, but calling them needs. But God knows what we need. And so Jesus is teaching us that as we learn to pray, as we learn to trust, as we learn to depend upon God, as we learn to call out to Him, to go before Him, and just go right to Him, and pray in trust and dependence and with humility, that God gives us exactly what we need. And that lesson was a long time coming for me to learn. I've talked before about my journey in prayer. My earliest memories of prayer, of course, were sitting around the dinner table with mom and dad, my brother, and we'd pray before meals. And obviously they would pray at different times, and dad would come into my brother and I's room at night, and we'd pray before we went to bed. But for me, that was my earliest memories, praying at set particular times for meals, at bedtime, and so on. Of course, as I got older, I began to realize that we would pray for different things. And so many times I would walk to school or I would ride my bike to school, and I would use that time to pray. And I'd pray for different things. I'd pray for things that I would really never pray for now. I'd pray for help to get a particular grade on a test. A shy young guy like myself would pray for help meeting girls. You know, different things like that. But I think all of that is the evolution of learning how to go before God with the fabric of our lives. We pray about what's most important to us, and that's what I mean. We pray about, it's okay to pray about things that are wants, but God understands in that prayer what our need is. And He doesn't always answer us according to what we want, but according to what we need. And so then there were different times as I read the Bible more, and then as I got into college and I started to look at books like the Psalms a little bit more in depth, and we see that the followers of God would often meditate on the law, they would meditate on His Word. So I began realizing how we can read the Bible and let what we read and understand in the Bible become the things that we pray about, and that when we do that, we're probably pretty close to what God is looking for anyway. And then different questions for me came up. Friends at college would have a problem and we'd pray about it, but they didn't seem to get the answer that they wanted. And I've talked before about my grandfather who had the stroke and wasn't able to talk or really get around much for 2 years. And I prayed extensively that he would be absolutely healed from that, and it never happened. And so, you know, I had to wrestle with, well, how does prayer, why am I not getting the result that I wanted? And so we have to think about, you know, these things that we pray about. and how we pray. But understand, as Jesus is teaching us here, that prayer is more, is way more than asking God for what we want. We ask him for what we want, but then in return we get what we need. And so Jesus here in Luke chapter 11, we've already looked at what he teaches us about what we call the Lord's Prayer. And we see that in this prayer, in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, Jesus gives us a very simple prayer that teaches us about humility, simplicity, and dependence on God. When the prayer begins by acknowledging God as Father, we remember that we are his children, which means that we are not the ones that call the shots. We are not the ones that set the agenda or the tone. We go before our Father as his children, looking for his provision in our lives. And so we approach God, Jesus says, without long words, without big words, without complicated formulas, but we can go before him at any time, and we can approach our Father at any time as his children. For all of us in here, when we think about maybe some of us have had really good fathers, and some of us have had mediocre fathers, and some of us have had really poor fathers. But in all three of those circumstances, we know what it is that we really wanted and needed from our Father. And that's what God is for us. Always there to be the perfect Father for us. Whether we got that or not, he gives us what we need. And we go before him in the humility of being his child. And then Jesus gives us very few words to say, but in the few words is a tremendous depth. And we went through those a couple of weeks ago. And Jesus teaches us to trust God, to depend on him with our entire lives. Just in a few short sentences, in a few clauses of the prayer, we have so much that teaches us how to depend upon him and to trust him. And then as Jesus goes on here, he introduces three different ideas about what our attitude should be like in prayer and how we should pray and how God answers prayer. And we see that beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 13. So in verse 5, Jesus begins to tell a parable about a guy. And this guy, he appears to be somewhat unprepared, but he has a friend who stops by late at night, and the guy's hungry because he's been traveling all day. And this guy has nothing for his friend to eat. So he goes next door to his friend's house at midnight and starts banging on the door. And he says, give me something to eat because I've had a friend come by and I don't have anything for him and I need to feed him. And then Jesus gives us the moral of the parable, if you will. And he says, the guy's going to get up and give him what he needs, not because of their friendship, but because of the man's boldness. And some other translations say because of the man's shameless audacity. Because he would actually have the nerve to show up at somebody else's house at midnight and bang on the door and say, I need something. And so what's Jesus teaching there? That God is greater than that man who gets up because of this other man's boldness. If this man was able to get what he needed, not because of that friendship, but just because of how bold he was, to go and bang on the door at midnight and say, I need something for somebody else, I don't have it, and I need it, then how much more is God going to give us what we need? But we need to have the boldness to actually go before God and tell him what it is that we need. And so, see, how many times are we afraid or we hold back for some reason on telling God what it is that we need? Sometimes it's a physical need and we're embarrassed to talk about it. So we're embarrassed to tell God, even though we know God knows. We know God knows. But we're embarrassed to actually communicate that to him and to tell him what it is that we need. Or sometimes we have a spiritual need and we feel so much guilt or questions or doubt or fear in talking to God about that, and so we just don't. And these things fester in us, and we want to talk to him, but we don't. And Jesus is saying, be like that man who was so bold that he went at midnight and banged on the door, woke the household up because of what he needed. Just go to God and be shameless enough to tell him what you need, because God's going to respond. See, the difference, I think, with God in this parable is that Jesus says this guy wasn't getting anything based on their friendship, but only on his boldness. You know, if you get woken up at midnight, you might as well help somebody out because you're already up. But I think the difference, I think the inference is that with God, we have that relationship. And we can be bold, but based on that relationship of Him being our Father, He's going to give us what we need. And so never be ashamed. Never be ashamed to go before God with what you need. Go to Him and voice those requests. And we see this all the time in the Psalms. Individuals crying out to God out of anger, out of desperation, out of fear. They're desperate. And they call out to God for help, for salvation, for redemption. Let us be that shameless in our own prayers to God, that we strip away all arrogance and pride, and with humility we simply go before Him and tell Him what it is that we need. And then Jesus talks about asking, seeking, and knocking in verses 9 through 10. And that's a simple point that He makes there. We need to take action in prayer. We need to take action. See, sometimes we just sit back and wonder, how come God's not doing this or that thing that we want or that we think we need? And it's because we haven't even asked. And I'm not saying that we have to ask in order for God to do something, but Jesus says, get desperate about this. Ask, seek, knock. And He says, the one that does that gets results. Notice He doesn't say, sit there, blame somebody, and complain. And then God's going to give you what you want. He says, ask, seek, and knock. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. He promises results. Now sometimes, let's be honest, we misunderstand that passage. Because somebody says, well, I asked God for whatever, and I didn't get it, so either He lied or I didn't ask the right way or whatever. We have to understand that paragraph and that teaching within the context of the entire passage. Which goes back to what we call the Lord's Prayer, where the whole thing is prayed in the context of learning to trust God to provide for us. This is not going out and asking God for a new Mustang, which I would like to do, but I'm not going to do that. That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about asking, seeking, knocking in the context of God providing for your needs. When we understand these three other teachings in their relationship to Jesus' model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, we realize that that prayer is about trusting our Father to provide for us. So what is it that we're asking for, seeking after, and knocking to get? It's that provision from God, either at a physical or at a spiritual level. So when we ask for something that clearly is unneeded and we don't get it, it's not that Jesus wasn't telling the truth. It's that God's answering our prayers according to what it is that we really need. Not what it is that we wanted. And so then we come to that last section. And this is where Jesus really tells us the results that we're going to get in prayer. And He says, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Now, I don't like that verse because I am terrified of snakes. And I'm thankful that my dad never did that, because if I asked him for a fish or something to eat and he gave me a snake, I probably would have had to move out of the house quickly, because that would have been like, never show me a snake if you want me to stick around. If you don't want me to stick around, show me a snake. But Jesus says, if your son asks for a fish, which of you fathers will give him a snake instead? It's a rhetorical question. No good father, no one he's talking to, is going to give a snake when his son asks for a fish. Hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Here's a violent, poisonous animal. Good luck. No good father is going to do that. And then he says, or if he asks for an egg, you give him a scorpion instead. It's not going to happen. These are all ridiculously over-the-top examples that Jesus is giving. It's not going, and Jesus says, if you who are evil, and by the way, I don't think He means literally you guys are evil. I just think He means you don't think the way God thinks. But even though you don't think the way God thinks, you are still not going to do that to your own children. How much more, now Jesus goes back to the idea of Father, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so there, right there, Jesus tells us, the results that we can find in prayer. And that sets the whole tone for the whole thing. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock, Jesus says, you have the Holy Spirit already. And God's going to give that Spirit to help you, to give you the answers to those prayers. And so when we have that physical need, when we have that spiritual need, and we ask God, sometimes our prayers are more reflective of what we want than what we need, God has already ensured that He's given us everything we need, and then He'll work through that to make sure that we're taken care of. And so sometimes, even though we pray for something physically, God answers spiritually. And many times when we pray for a spiritual need, He answers us. It's just not always what we're looking for. But when we realize that He's already given us the means by which we are already provided for, and prayer can sometimes simply be a reminder of that. And then God works it out in different ways, but according to what it is that we need. And so in this passage, when the disciples ask, teach us how to pray, in that prayer, Jesus teaches, God is your Father. Trust Him. Trust Him to take care of you, to provide for you. Have the boldness or the audacity to go before Him with whatever needs you have. Take them before, He's not ashamed. He's your Father. Take your needs before Him. Ask Him, seek Him, knock, and God's going to give you an answer. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you through whatever situation you're in. How many of us have ever gone through a terrible physical ordeal, and it was your spiritual strength that brought you through that? That's what Jesus is saying. We don't always get the answers to physical questions that we want. We don't even always get the answer to spiritual questions that we want, but what we always get is God. He is always with us. He's always near to us. He's always working in our lives to draw us closer to Him so that we feel His love and His care and His comfort. Prayer helps us by teaching us dependence and trust and humility and simplicity to lay everything else aside so that we can be open to the work of God in our lives. If you're here this morning and need to respond to God in any way, whether it's to seek prayer or maybe even to seek the beginning of a new life in Him by being baptized into the name of Jesus, receive the forgiveness of sins, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, to be added to the church and to receive eternal life, we'd encourage you to let us know what your spiritual need this morning is by coming forward as we stand and sing.